The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome back to the Trumpet Daily radio show. Quite a bit of material that we want to try to work our way through on today's program. Speaking of programs, yesterday we talked about two fairly uplifting and decent movies, one produced back in 1986, and then another one more recently, 2004, I think it was. And the last point that I was going to finish yesterday's program with, I just ran out of time. But I talked about, or was going to talk about, just how selective you have to be to find entertainment that can be uplifting and maybe even inspiring. It's very difficult to do that, though, in today's world. I was, in going through the material I went through yesterday, I was somewhat hopeful that, well, you can find a little bit here and there, and even the good things have flaws, all of them do. We're not living in God's world yet. This is very much Satan's society, and Satan is a very subtle being. But I just happened to look at the main movies, or at least the plot lines, for the ones that were awarded the other night. And just listen to this. You compare what Hollywood is producing today to what it was producing even a generation ago, and you would think there'd be more people in Hollywood themselves who would be shocked at the direction that we're heading in as a society. The best original screenplay, this is the story that was originally written. It's a horror movie about an interracial relationship and racial tensions. I guess it's supposed to have some humor in it as well, but it's a horror flick. And that was the best that Hollywood produced as far as the script is concerned. As for scripts adapted from books that are out there, the best adapted screenplay was a romance that involved bisexuality, homosexuality, and pedophilia. All of that in just one movie. The best adapted screenplay for the year. The best foreign language film. This is the best that's produced outside of Hollywood, abroad. The best foreign language film for the year. Another love story involving a transgender. So you see all the hot button issues. They're being covered. They're being awarded. And then the best picture, a woman who falls in love with a fish monster, a movie about bestiality. That's the very best coming out of Hollywood over the past year. We were talking yesterday in our editorial meeting. Some of us, and I'm older than a number of the people assisting me, but even the younger ones that helped me out were talking about how that, when they were in high school, the attack, it was so fierce, aimed at fatherhood, the role of the father. I forget when my own father wrote that booklet, Conspiracy Against Fatherhood. But I think it's one of the earlier ones that we produced, perhaps back in the 1990s. And as he brought out, there's a method to this strategy that Satan is employing. He wants to take out the father figure, the strong, masculine, authoritative man. And then the assault on marriage. Children born out of wedlock, that was a hot button issue. If you go back to the early 1990s, some of you might remember what Vice President Quayle said, I think, in 1990 or 1991, when there was a popular TV show at the time that that showed one of its stars having a baby outside of wedlock. I mean, that back then, that was controversial, if you can believe it. And the vice president said, look, that doesn't help. That doesn't help when right on the television screen every week you have that message going out to our young people, our families. And boy, they heaped scorn on the vice president of the United States. What a prude. Who does he think he is? Look, we're just producing entertainment here. That was the early 1990s. The role of the father was under attack. You know the popular storylines from back then. The father, while present, he really wasn't present because he was kind of a doofus. He didn't work hard. He was lazy. The wife, the mother, ran circles around him. That was back when the father and the mother were actually together in the 80s and the 90s. But we've come a long way from even that time. Now the father is long gone. We're to the point of pedophilia and bestiality. Not just being portrayed on the silver screen. These are the ones winning the awards in 2018. Pedophilia, transgenderism, bestiality. Ephesians 2 says that the devil is the prince of the power of the air. Consider the power of Satan the devil. It also says about him in Genesis 3 that he's more subtle. He's more subtle. Of course, he's referred to there as a serpent, more subtle than any beast of the field. Revelation 12 says he's deceived the whole world. He's a powerful being that works with the powers of deception and subtlety. And it all starts, it's a very slippery slope. You take one step in the wrong direction. Well, the father, for example, he's not really a strong leader. He's not really fulfilling his God-given role. Well, even before the father, you erase God out of the storyline. Then you erase the father out of the storyline. Then you erase marriage out of the storyline. Then you've erased family out of the storyline. And what are you left with? What are you left with? Well, look at the ones winning the awards today. Homosexuality, bisexuality, pedophilia, transgenderism, and bestiality. There's a battle going on in this spirit world that few people know anything of. And much of it is playing out on the battlefield of our minds. Satan is really going after our minds. He's going after the minds of our children. And it starts in the smallest of ways. The Bible talks about a little tiny bit of leaven. There may be a few rare exceptions here and there, as I covered yesterday, but they are rare. And how appalling to just look through some of those plot lines this morning. And in one sense, I'm not surprised. I knew nothing about any of these movies, these four movies that were awarded the other night. But it's no surprise, really. Look at where we are. Look at how many are capitulating to the devil. Look at how many have lost the control of their own minds. Look at what their minds are being filled with. This deadly leaven that's destroying an entire generation. And Satan, as the prince of the power of the air, he is using television, movies, music, entertainment, Hollywood. He's using it masterfully. And at the same time, in case you didn't notice the other night, he's using those same Hollywood producers, actors, actresses, to lecture the rest of us about morality, of all things. even as they award this kind of filth in the very same ceremony. The very same ceremony. This is a quote from, and it was in a Royal Vision article last year, a quote from the nephew of Sigmund Freud, who worked in public relations. He said that the American motion picture is the greatest unconscious carrier of propaganda in the world today. It is a great distributor for ideas and opinions. This public relations expert, he wrote that 90 years ago, almost a century ago. This is another one. This is from an article Tim Ostendorp wrote in the March 2017 Royal Vision, The Deadly Leaven of Modern Media. He quoted this other expert, "The horror of television is that the information goes right into our memory pool, and perhaps we react to it later, but we don't know what we're reacting to. When you watch television, you are training yourself. So later on, you're doing things without knowing why you're doing them or where they came from." I mean, it used to be Hollywood could sort of give itself a pass by saying, "Well, look, we're just entertainers." And so many of the movies that at least 20, 30 years ago, like I said yesterday, that were awarded, they were more mainstream. But they can't claim that they're just trying to entertain and make a quick buck anymore. There's an agenda there. There's a message going out in these critically acclaimed films. Horror films. Transgender films. Films about homosexuality and pedophilia. And now bestiality. Is that the next glass ceiling that we break? To see more romances between human beings and animals? That's the best picture for the year. In the Royal Vision piece, it says the television, movie, and music industries are completely obsessed with sex. Well, Tim goes on and talks about those themes. They're all over the place. And so many of the plot lines are also just crawling with all kinds of demonic characters, if not actual demons, as these producers and script writers portray on the big screen. Demonic themes, obsession with sex. This is what God says we've got to come out of. 2 Corinthians 6. Read the last few verses there, what Paul says to the brethren. John in the book of Revelation says, "Come out of Babylon. Come out of her, my people." Jesus compared our day to the days before the flood of Noah's time. He said it would be just like the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. Can there be any doubt that we are there, that we're drawing close? I mean, this is the silver lining here. We're drawing close to the return of Jesus Christ because we're living in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. And we've gone off the cliff morally. There is no way a movie like that one from 1986 would be made today. Well, there's jillions of movies and productions going on even as we speak. Maybe, as I say, there's an occasional exception. But it's Satan's world. There can be no doubt about that. Look at the filth that's just pouring forth out of Hollywood and going all over the world. And then, and we've made this point before, Joel Hilliker wrote a trumpet brief about it. Here they're mass producing this filth and now stepping forward as the moral arbiters to give us the speeches about the Me Too movement and this or that. And really, even that, the other night from what I read, It was just kind of a bunch of vague platitudes, not really taking responsibility for any of these evils that you see on the big screen and that are being acted out in real life. Herbert Armstrong wrote a piece back in the 1950s, about the role of television in the decline of the United States. Here's Mr. Armstrong again, ahead of his time. He said in the 50s, the concern is not for what viewers ought to see, but for what the largest number will prefer to see. And television experience shows what the public wants, not what it is good for it. Not what is good for it, rather, but will entertain. The very nature that is in humans tends to relax, let down, take the course of least resistance and escape responsibility and degenerate. So the fault is with both sides, as he says. I mean, you have the Hollywood producers, but then you have the consumers that can't get enough of it. A little later on, this is from 1968, Mr. Armstrong pinpointed two causes of the sickness that we see in our world today. He said a wrong education was a fault or a cause. And then the second one was the wrong use of a too large segment of television times, the motion pictures, the unfit reading matter, starting with comic books for children, pornography, sex-arousing articles, books and magazines. In other words, entertainment. That's one of the primary causes of the sickness of our world. And so while there may be an occasional exception, as I said yesterday, they are rare. And even when it meets a standard that you're working to establish in your home, it still should be very infrequent, for sure, particularly for our children, as we're teaching our children. What are they filling their minds with? Mr. Armstrong defined sin in that article as the absence of God's righteousness. Here again, coming back to this point about subtlety, the subtlety of the devil. And he says here, there may be much beautiful scenery in a film and a gripping story. Satan may well have engineered it that way. Perhaps 99% of a film is clean, wholesome, and just interesting enough to communicate a single defiling experience. That's from an article he wrote in 1974, 40-some years ago. Think about, again, the direction and where it started. I mean, some of you are older than others. You can go back to before the time that I saw television as a youth, back in the 1980s. Those shows that seem practically harmless compared to today. But then you compare the 80s with what Hollywood was producing in the 1950s and 60s. Satan is so subtle. And look, we've absorbed a lot of the filth around us. And if we go by the standards of today, what passes for good and wholesome today, it would have been downright filthy 40, 50, 60 years ago. Coming into the spring holiday season, God's Passover and Days of Unleavened Bread, I mean, this is something for all of us to think about and to consider, because your Bible says that in the last days, it's going to be just like the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, and Paul said to Timothy that it was just going to get worse and worse and worse. Like I said, what's going to be the best picture next year? I mean, come on. A fish monster? Seriously? And what about this drive in the human mind as influenced by the devil? The perverse and warped thinking of the devil to try to establish some kind of a link between human beings and animals. When God wants us to lift up our eyes on high, as it says in the Bible, and to consider our maker, our creator. I mean, all of the creation, it certainly reveals God, even the animal creation. We'll talk in the next segment about the vast difference, though, between the human mind and the brain of an animal. Why such a vast difference? And what is it in man that wants to keep looking down to this earthly substance, the animal kingdom, and to try to establish some kind of a link that would prove we're connected to the animals? God's trying to bring us up into his family. That's the truth of your Bible. My father gave a program back in 2010 talking about the human mind. This was on his Key of David program. As I say, it's 7-8 years old. Here's clip number 2.
Now, it's really shameful that man continues to look down to the monkey instead of up to God to find out how he got here and what was his origin and what was the origin of God's greatest gift to man, until he gives him his Holy Spirit. But the greatest gift to man is this human mind, and of course with the human body. But we have spectacular potential if we'll just look at it and believe it and think logically about it. It's just something that is so amazing.
You think about what Mr. Armstrong used to say about evolution. Something, again, going back to the 1940s or 50s that might have seemed so harmless at the time. Well, look, we're going to show on the one side, we'll show creation. On the other side, we'll show evolution. But he talked about the spread of German rationalism in modern education going back to the early part of the 20th century and how that was the false basic premise on which all of education is built upon. And what did he say about the two causes of our sick society? False education and then perverse entertainment. And look at where we are today. Look at what passes for sophisticated, award-winning creativity. It's right out of Romans 1. Well, at least the bit after Romans 1 and verse 20. Let me just read these first couple verses. Verse 19, this is in the Revised Standard Version. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. Ever since the creation of the world, his invisible nature, namely his eternal power and deity, it's been clearly perceived in the things that have been made, the physical, so they are without excuse. We're without excuse. I mean, look around at what God has made, what he's created. But look at what man has done with it. Our book club's reading this book on 1776. General Washington and all of the generals or the soldiers working underneath him, the leading men of the United States of America, and so many of them, when they left Boston to come down to New York to protect New York, knowing that the British were coming, I mean, they were appalled by what was happening in the inner city of New York with the prostitution and such. But there was one, I forget who the leader was, but he was fearful that God might withdraw his blessing on the Continental Army because there was so much profanity. I mean, just people cursing, of all things. What would these towering figures of America's history think about the Academy Awards today? What would they think about these plot lines from the best picture, the best screenplay, the best foreign film? We should know better. God's made it plain to us. Creation itself is proof of his existence. Creation itself declares his glory, as it says in the Psalm. Look around you. Look at what God has created. Look at reproduction. Look at the miracle of life. Look at how that life comes from life. Well, what man will look at, he, as far as creation goes, he looks at in the worst, most perverted kind of way. Verse 21 says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were they thankful, but they became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. That's what you see. Let's be honest. That's what you see. When you look at 99.9% of what Hollywood churns out, you see darkness. You see vain imaginations. You see foolishness. You see the worst of the human spirit, the very worst that the human spirit can produce. It says in verse 22, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Did you see any of that? Well, hopefully you didn't even watch it like most of America. But do you think any of that went on the other night? Fools getting up to reward themselves because they think they're so wise, because they think they're so progressive in their thinking, so sophisticated and modern, forward thinking. Look at verse 23. This is in Romans 1. It says, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into the image made like to corruptible man, to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Changing the glory of God into that. Changing the glory of God into something like bestiality. Well, as Herbert Armstrong said way back in the 1940s, evolution is just the atheist's, his explanation of creation without a creator. We've long since rejected God as creator. And so we're left to our own devices, human reasoning, everyone doing what seems right in his own eyes. Verse 25 says, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creation or the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forever. Here we are searching and searching and searching for something in this physical creation, like my father brought out in that program, something, anything that will link us to animals, to creeping things, to four-footed beasts. And our focus should be on the all-powerful God who made the animals, who created the stars and planets, who brought human beings into existence. Why did he do it? Well, as I say, in the next segment, we'll look at this distinct difference, this vast difference between human beings and the four-footed beasts of the field. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. We'll be right back.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily. Throughout the Bible, God refers to human beings as his own children. Many people, however, say God just doesn't seem real to them. God is a great mystery. Yet, their human fathers don't seem like a mystery. Why does God seem unreal? In Mystery of the Ages, Herbert W. Armstrong answers that question. In this book, Mr. Armstrong strives to make God as real to you as your own human father. Do you realize that God, as described in the Holy Bible, is actually a family? That he calls human beings his children because he wants to be their father? This magnificent truth, once understood, will help you understand your Bible like never before. Mystery of the Ages will guide you in your study of God's Word and will make plain this incredible, seemingly unbelievable truth. We would like to offer you this book, Mystery of the Ages, absolutely free, no cost or obligation. In many ways, Mystery of the Ages is about Herbert Armstrong's close personal relationship with God the Father. It contains a powerful message that God revealed to Mr. Armstrong during their constant contact, their continual conversation that lasted for nearly six decades. If you thoroughly study Mystery of the Ages along with your Bible, you will get to know God. Request your free copy of Mystery of the Ages today. Email your request to td@kpcg.fm or visit thetrumpet.com. The Trumpet Daily Radio Show airs every morning at 7 a.m. Central Time on KPCG 101.3 FM in Edmond, Oklahoma.
If you look at higher education, you will find that they give you technical courses in all kinds of human physiology and psychology and anatomy and anthropology. And yet, they'll take a man and just study him in every facet and every phase, inch by inch, it seems. And they also will take apart the human brain and the human mind, study the human mind, and still they cannot explain what the human mind is. They cannot tell you. It's a mystery to them.
That's from a more recent program my father gave just last year, March 15th, 2017, about the mystery of man, talking there about the new frontier in science. Unlocking the mystery of the human brain. Well, Herbert Armstrong did that decades ago. You can read about it in his booklet, What Science Can't Discover About the Human Mind. As much as they know, as much as the technology has advanced, what they can't know about the human mind is revealed in your Bible. But they won't look into it. They're unwilling. As Mr. Armstrong said, they're unwilling to concede even the possibility of the spiritual. Oh, they'll get into all kinds of spiritual things when it's demonic, but not the spirit in man, not God's spirit. If it's demonic, if it's a horror movie, if it's vampires, if it's meeting up with someone who's dead, you'll find all kinds of themes like that on motion pictures and television today. But if it has to do with the spirit in man, nope, nothing there to look at. The difference between human beings and animals, besides our form and shape, there's that too, but the vast difference has to do with the human mind. Now, when you think of some of the things that scientists actually are discovering in this new frontier. I mean, there are some fascinating discoveries, just particularly with respect to the capability of the human brain. There's a story in the Telegraph from a few weeks ago. I haven't had the time to get into it yet. But here in the UK, it said the human brain has a capacity that is 10 times greater than first thought, and can retain 4.7 billion books. That's one human brain. And we're discovering that it has a greater capacity for learning than we thought. I can remember a generation ago talking about, you know, scientists saying that, well, really, we use maybe just a few percentage points, maybe 5, 10% of our total brain power. Here's this piece saying human brain can store 4.7 million books. This is according to U.S. scientists who have measured the storage capacity of synapses, I guess is how you pronounce it, the brain connections that are responsible for storing memories. They discovered that on average, one synapse can hold roughly 4.7 bits of information. This means that the human brain has a capacity of 1 petabyte or 1 quadrillion. I think it's quadrillion. There's lots of zeros. 1 quadrillion bytes. 1 petabyte is the same as 20 million four-drawer file cabinets filled with text. 13.3 years of HD TV recordings. 4.7 billion books, and 670 million web pages. What the human brain, empowered by the human mind, can absorb is astonishing. But what are we filling it with? What are we filling up on? It says, however, this is only the total amount of information that the relevant part of the brain could theoretically carry at any one moment. Its actual archive of memories would be a lot smaller. It says, finally, our new measurements of the brain's memory capacity increase conservative estimates by a factor of 10 to at least a petabyte in the small ballpark as the World Wide Web. Now, just to reinforce this point in the Telegraph article, you know the power, or at least you're somewhat aware of the power that there is in a computer. A small little device, a handheld device, a smartphone. The Plain Truth highlighted this way back in 1975, saying that the human mind developed the computer, the electronic brain, from a crude idea to an elegant, super-sophisticated masterpiece. This is talking about the computer, I suppose, a big mainframe computer back in 1975. It says here, yet random chance supposedly evolved the incomprehensibly superior human mind from small organic molecules? You have enough sense to know that the computer sitting on your desk or the phone in your back pocket, it didn't just come into existence by chance. There was a great designer behind it. In fact, there was a human mind that brought that into existence. Lots of human minds. It says, the brain behind the computer. This is a 1975 piece in the Plain Truth. Of course, these computer memories remember because human brains designed them. Computers compute because human brains developed them. The computer has dramatically evolved, quote unquote, because human minds made it evolve. It did not take millions upon millions of years. About 30 years was quite sufficient. And well, look at where those little devices are today. It goes on and talks about the extraordinary human brain and mind. And all that goes on. I had another piece here. I'll have to try to get it or locate it during the next soundbite. But just what the brain, the mind of man is able to process in a matter of milliseconds. And when you compare it to a humanly made robot or something that has to be programmed, just certain basic, simple movements that we make every day, that we take for granted every day. Let me play for you a couple of clips. This is from Herbert Armstrong now, switching over to Mr. Armstrong. This is from something he said back in 1981. It's clip 4.
What gives man mind power when animals have the same kind of brain and some even larger and still can't think and reason like a human can? What then is the difference? Well, we turn over to one place. I'll tell you in Job, the 32nd chapter and verse 8. There is a spirit in man. You can't find any place where the Bible says there is a spirit in animals, in a cow, or a turkey, or an elephant. But there is a spirit in man, and that spirit empowers the physical brain with materialistic intellect. And I say materialistic intellect because that's all it does. That's all it does. Man is made in the image, the form, and shape of God, and man is made with a mind which an animal doesn't have. That is the way in which man is different from an animal. He has a mind like God. He's in the form and shape of God. He has hands, for example, which an animal does not have. Man was made to have a relationship with God, but he was also made to have a relationship with his fellows, with his neighbors, with his children and other people's children, as the earth became populated.
That's the incredible human potential. Made in the image and likeness of God, the form and shape of God, made even with a mind like God, a godly type mind that can think and reason. We produced this is actually, I think, from our correspondence course. What is it that makes man unique? We printed this in the November 2011 Trumpet. Just talking about this vast difference between the human mind and animal brain. And regarding the human mind, it says man's able to devise various ways to do one thing or to achieve a predetermined goal. Man can acquire knowledge and can reason from it. He's able to draw conclusions, make decisions, and will act according to a thought-out plan. Each man can design and build a different type of house using a different design, different building materials. Men also eat different foods prepared in many different ways. They may live entirely different lifestyles from one another, and if a man wants to, he can change his way of life. Man can choose. He has free moral agency. He can devise codes of conduct and exercise self-discipline. He can originate ideas and evaluate knowledge. And all because he has a mind that is patterned after God's own mind, man can devise, plan, and bring his plans to fruition because he has been given some of the very creative powers of God. But look at what we're using those creative powers for. We're using them to worship the creation instead of the Creator. To tell stories on the big screen about the worst of the human heart and mind. To tell stories about the most perverse lifestyles, twisted and perverted lifestyles, to glorify stories that undermine family, that undermine the role of the father, the husband. It's pretty amazing what we have in God's church. The revelation that God's made available to this church, the knowledge that we can study, that we can fill our minds with, that correspondence course that I just mentioned, these passages of the Bible, Mr. Armstrong referring to Job 32 and verse 8, the spirit in man, what we know, what God's equipped us with, mind power. Here again is Mr. Armstrong. This is clip 5.
God equipped man with mind power. God equipped man with hands and fingers to work with. God gave man the powers of original thought, of imagination, of reasoning, of assimilating material knowledge, and of reasoning with it, of designing, of thinking out a plan, and of having the originality not only to design, but also having the initiative and the will to execute what he has thought out and planned and designed. Now, no animal, except man, has a mind in that sense. An animal cannot do that. An animal cannot reason and think out creative thought and plan and design something and lay out a plan of it and then construct or build what he has designed by original thought and idea and by initiative and all that sort of thing. Animals do not, in that sense, make decisions. Animals act according to impulse. And the animal brain is merely sort of a mechanism that, well, under certain conditions, causes the animal to do certain things and act in a certain way. We call it instinct or nature or whatever you want to call it. In other words, the mind of God reasoned it all out in advance and set that automatic mechanism that we call the animal brain within the animal, and the animal acts instinctively. Animals do not commit sin. Animals do not cultivate, for instance, such things as self-restraint in the way that a human being can, such things as patience and all that sort of thing that enter into character building as a human can.
That's Herbert Armstrong from a message he gave back in 1980, highlighting the differences, the vast differences between human beings and the animals in God's creation, how that they act instinctively. They don't practice things such as self-restraint or patience. They don't build character. With man, it's different. Not that man is building character. It's going in the other direction for sure. I've highlighted that throughout this program. But what we're capable of, if we'll yield to God's Spirit, if we'll look into the truth of God and fill our minds with it, why are we here? Why is there such a vast difference? What is God offering to us that he's not offering to cats and dogs? 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 9, it says, "But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him." What is God preparing for us? Mr. Armstrong, in his book, Mystery of the Ages, says that the natural mind of man can only accumulate, well, he said it in that clip I just played for you, it can only accumulate knowledge of material and physical things. I mean, it can also develop its own sense of morality and ethics. And so you can have people in a society of everyone doing what seems right in their own eyes get up on a big television show and lecture the rest of the nation on how they think society should be set up. But that's the thing, is everybody's got their own different standard. We're all just doing what seems right in our own eyes. We won't look to God. We won't look to God's leader. We won't look to God's teachers. We won't let God show us the way. And so it's just a free-for-all. And every year it gets worse and worse and worse to the point where the story about bestiality, the love story between a woman and a fish monster is awarded the best picture of the year, the best movie that Hollywood produced the entire year. Shocking. Should be. It's shocking. And yet all that anyone, even from the conservative side, all that they want to do is come out after the Academy Awards and say, "Oh, well, ha-ha, nobody watched it, the ratings were down," as if that's the story. It's just one political side pitted against another. It's all politics. Look at what we're doing to ourselves. Look at what we're distributing. And this is mainstream. I'm not even getting into the pornographic side of things. The thousands upon thousands of actual pornographic films. This is the pornographic stuff that the mainstream producers churn out. And so we fill our minds with it. And our minds are capable of absorbing a lot of content. And you know what? Satan is a master at producing content. He is a content king. You can stream it, you can watch it, you can turn it on, you can listen to it. Prince of the power of the air. What is the devil doing to our minds? There's a battle going on. It's raging in your mind and mine. And unless we're plugged in to God's broadcast, unless we're plugged in to God's truth and filling our minds on the truth of God, we're going to find ourselves just going along with the flow. And that's a dangerous, dangerous direction to be going in. To just follow after a multitude to sin, as it says in Exodus. Verse 10 in 1 Corinthians 2 says, "But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God." It's not just that God wants us to avoid that type of filth that's proudly displayed in Hollywood and elsewhere. God wants to lead us by his Spirit into the deep things of God. Spiritual knowledge. An understanding of our Maker and his purpose for creating us. A depth of knowledge regarding his laws. His law of love, the Ten Commandments, how to love our Maker, our Creator, how to love fellow man, how to build a family around the laws of God. For what man knows the things of a man, save the spirit of man, which is in him? Even so, the things of God knows no man, but the Spirit of God. I mean, the spirit in man is what enables us to understand the things of man. But look at the things of man. Are we really getting smarter? I mean, that paradox is so stark. What Mr. Armstrong talked about, the advancement of technology. Look at the computers today as compared to 1974. Look at the things you can stream into your home, into your living room. Look at what you can get to on YouTube, on Google. Satan's very subtle. But, you know, he's not leading you along as patiently as he once did. You can go along a seemingly harmless path on YouTube, just one simple search, and be one or two searches away, or one or two views of something that YouTube also offers. That's loosely connected to your search. And you can go down a rabbit hole in a hurry, morally speaking. God wants us to come out of that and to really dig into the deep, deep things of God. It says in verse 14 of 1 Corinthians 2, "But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned." You see, they look at God, they look at the teachings of God, they look at the laws of God that we talk about on this program, they look at the standards that we promote, they look at family, they look at marriage, they look at the father's role, they look at the role of the mother, the complementary role that she plays in the family. They look at submissive, obedient children. They look at all of that, and they see it as foolishness. Worse than that, they're hostile to it. They hate it. And they put up the worst kind of filth in its place and then give it the Academy Award for Best Picture. Look how far we've drifted from God and his purpose. Joel Hilliker wrote a piece in True Education, "The world's greatest supercomputer." He's talking about the human brain and mind. Here the brain is just, Well, I think it weighs about 3 pounds. But it has all of these folds and gray matter and nerve cells by the billions, neurons. It says, the thing is, the human brain's physical qualities are virtually the same as many animal brains. Basically, brains are all made up of the same stuff. The human brain is only slightly larger than a chimpanzee's brain, but it's actually quite a lot smaller than the elephant's. The output of the human brain is immensely superior to both a chimp's and an elephant's. Why? Why the vast difference? Well, if you want to answer that question, I mentioned the booklet earlier, What Science Cannot Discover About the Human Mind. And if you'd like to dig even deeper into this subject, of course, you need books like Mystery of the Ages and The Incredible Human Potential, both of them by Herbert W. Armstrong. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. Thank you for joining us today. We'll see you tomorrow.